Thursday, November 20th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today's podcast is going to be all about something really, really timely. How about a little something-something that I'd like to call selling more? During the holiday season, part one, by the way, which implies there might just be at least a part two, which we'll get to in a little bit, but there's something really important that you need to know. Now, today's episode is brought to you by our brand spanking new Cold Calls That Rock webinar. So if you guys don't mind, let's go ahead and pay the bills and see what that's all about. When it comes to generating opportunities, most aspiring sales rock stars agree that the phone is the primary weapon of choice. Now, whether you want to call it cold calls or warm calls, lukewarm calls, smiling and dialing, or dialing for dollars, there's something that you need to know. There's actually an interesting study that was published by an organization called LeapJob, and they found that only about 2% of these calls actually result in an appointment. And if you're like me, you kind of hear it and you're like, man, that's just like horrible. So I kind of decided it was time to do something about it. So we're going to be launching on December 9th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time a really cool webinar called Cold Calls That Rock. Now, very quickly before I take you through it, you might have heard the date and time and said, man, that's just a bad day. It's really not convenient for me. Please keep in mind that we always deliver the sessions live. We always record. We send the recording out, slides and all. It's like you never missed a beating. You can kind of truly go at your own pace. But let me tell you what I'm going to be covering. We're going to talk about 7 warm-ups that you need to do to kind of get yourself into your zone faster. And let me just tell you what I mean by that. I don't mean like some hokey exercise or like jumping jacks and calisthenics. I'm talking about just really recognizing a simple fact. I mean, I think we'd all agree that there's just a radical difference between that first, second, and third, those first few calls that we make, and the calls that we make a little bit later in that calling session where we're kind of in the zone, we've got our groove on. Well, I'm going to show you how to get there quicker because we don't have all day to get to that place. Next, we're going to talk about 3 ways that you can conquer your nerves and call reluctance. And I really have a need to take a quick time out on that. You need to know a little secret about me. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but I am like the world's biggest introvert. And sadly, there's not much of a market for sales trainers getting up in front of crowds of 1,000 and plus that are shy. So I really had to beat that a long time ago, long before I wanted to go into sales training. So you're going to have someone teaching you about call reluctance and nerves who had to beat it on his own. So I'm going to take you through that, but we're also going to talk about how to research potential clients better than your competitors. We're going to talk about how to find triggers that will dramatically increase the interest level of that person at the other end of the phone. And also, too, how you can create a more compelling message, you ready for this, without using a script. I know a lot of people like to say, yeah, but actors and actresses, they use a script and you never know it. But you know what? Let's back up and say it again. See, that's why they're called. You ready? Actors and actresses, and I'm called the sales professional. So I'm going to show you how to kind of script it out without being scripted. I'm going to show you how to cut off objections and address them before they even happen. And how cool would it be if we lived in a world where there was absolutely no objections? We know they're going to occur, so I'm going to show you how to handle them in a way that's very respectful and professional, and also going to show you some responses to some very typical objections like no need, not interested, no time, we have a vendor, we're under contract, even stalls like call me back next month, send me some information, and how about a real seasonal favorite, call me back next year, call me back after the holidays. We're certainly going to go there, girlfriend. We're also going to talk about, and this is really important, how to ask for access to a higher level decision maker without completely insulting the person at the other end of that phone call. We got to be very sensitive to that. And then finally, we're going to talk about four different types of voicemails that are going to help set you apart. It's going to be a 90-minute workshop. You can kind of join us from your favorite chair. Going to be sharing over 30 ideas just to make you lethal on the phone. And if you'd like more information on this, and I certainly hope that you do, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourcoldcalls. Let me say it one more time. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourcoldcalls. Hope to see you guys there. Okay, everyone, now that we've paid the bills, it's time for us to get right down to business. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to be talking about selling more during the holiday season. This is going to be part one, which I believe implies that there will be at least a part two. I thought it might be a good idea to kind of jump right in today and talk about the part of the holiday season that we're about to just get a taste of right now here in the U.S. Right now, it is November 20th, which sounds really odd saying that, by the way. I have to keep like doing a double take. I mean, it's just like, where did this year go, right? So here we are. It's November 20th. We're a few days out from Thanksgiving. I think next week we're going to start experiencing a lot of people saying, call me back after Thanksgiving. In many cases, it's going to be call me back after the holidays and call me back next year and all that kind of stuff. I think there's even some personal things that we have to kind of be prepared for in terms of us kind of mentally checking out and things like that. So why don't we get right down to business? Let's talk about the very first thing. And it's something I talk about all the time. You might want to call it a Paulism because it's something I beat to death with you guys. But and I'm going to give you a little bit of tough love. You seriously, I mean, this is non-negotiable. I mean, if you take one tip away today, it's this one. You could literally shut this off and just get the price of admission right here, which was free. But anyway, still, if you did pay, you'd get the price of admission. You really need to make a decision. And I'm dead serious about this. I mean, to me, it troubles me. When we have grown-ups, they really don't know what the hell they're doing. And what I mean by that, and I want to be very clear about it, there are some of you who are going to decide, whether it be, like, for example, next week, that, you know what, the bulk of the week, I'm going to take off. I have off Thursday and Friday. I need to travel to Aunt Sadie's or whoever. Everybody has an Aunt Sadie. I don't. I have an Aunt Anna. I had two Aunt Annas, by the way. But an Aunt Sadie and Aunt Anna, which we used to call Aunt Anna, like all like one kind of, I think that's how she spelled it, by the way. But anyway, and we might decide, you know what the hell, man, I'm going to take off Wednesday too, or I might take off the whole week. It doesn't matter. And you know what, you might even make decisions like that around Christmas time. You know what, screw it, I'm taking 2 weeks off. I bust my ass all year. You know what, more power to you. And just to be very clear, because in a minute you're going to think Castain is a shoo-in to play like Scrooge in like the, you know, the company play or something like that. I love the holiday season. I'm not kidding you. You're talking to a guy like right now, today, November 19th is when I am recording this. Earlier today, I was out with Mrs. Uncle Paul, and, you know, we're those idiots that are going, like, Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving. We were actually in a store, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, what is it, the Christmas tree shops or whatever it is, buying ornaments and tablecloths and stuff like that, and it's like, I mean, like, and here it is, and we're getting all in the Christmas spirit. I was playing Christmas music in my office earlier. I know, like, I am a die-hard just like fanatic when it comes to the holidays, but a decision has to be made. So if you're going to take some time, God bless you. You deserve it. You should be taking it. I respect you because you've made a decision. There are some of you that are going to say, no, man, I just got to knuckle down. I have some things out there that I just know that if I just keep working and doing my thing next week when everybody else, my competitors, are sleeping, I'm going to go eat their lunch, or in this case, you could go eat their turkey, right? Not that you don't have enough turkey. But anyway, you're going to go and eat their lunch. And you might think the same thing during the holiday season or whatever. You're going to knuckle down. And again, I applaud you. Because you've made a decision. Here's why I have a problem. The group of people, which you're going to see lots of them in your office, in your company, and you're just going to run into them all over the place. And maybe even someone you know very, very intimately, like, I don't know, like you. You're going to see people who have not made a decision, and they are neither working nor are they enjoying the holiday season. They are just there. They are like the living, breathing version of The Walking Dead, which I don't know how you could be living and breathing if you were The Walking Dead, but just go with me and just, you know, I'm on a roll here. But I mean, seriously, you have to make a decision. And one of the things that I would encourage, I know there's a lot of sales leaders that listen to this podcast. If you're leading a team, you absolutely need to lay down the law with them, unless you are very fortunate and blessed and you have a team that it is business as usual for them and they do what they're supposed to do. But I know a lot of sales managers and business owners who have already begun laying out the law, and they're being very nice about it too and very caring. And they're basically saying what I said earlier. Hey, you have vacation time. I expect you to take your vacation time. Please hug your children and enjoy your families. By all means, do that. For those of you who want to work, go ahead. We're going to give you a great environment where you can do this. Some of these people are already talking about, for those of you that are going to be around as it gets closer to the holidays, we're bringing in pizzas and we're going to have some fun and, you know, all kinds of things, right? But they're making it very, very clear. If you come to this office, we expect you to work. And if you're not taking time off, we expect you to be productive. And also, some of them even had made it very, very clear that if you've chosen not to work during this time and you come to this office, I don't want to see you near the other people trying to discourage them, telling them, well, why are you bothering, and just trying to get them just to kind of join your pity party. So I really think that we have to be very, very clear about it. And you have to really make a decision. Now, one last thing that I just want to say to you. And again, you might, like, by the time I'm done with this rant and I'm really beating up this one point, you might really hate me and think I'm heartless. But, you know, I'm a straight shooter. Whether you guys like me or not, you're going to get the truth from me on this podcast. I think that, I don't know when it happened. I really couldn't tell you the time frame. But somehow, we have really milked the hell out of the holidays. And again, I want to be very clear. This is the guy who was listening to Christmas music earlier today. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, almost like a big, like, romantic when it comes to Christmas time and stuff. I'll hear like some sad Christmas music, and then, you know, there I am reaching into my pockets and making a bigger donation, or like buying my kids more stuff. I hide gifts and have treasure. I mean, I'm a nut with this stuff. But I'm here to tell you, somehow, we've managed to take something that really, to me, is about a week, and we've milked it into about 6 weeks. And both in our work ethic and allowing other people to just say, well, you know, call us back after the holiday. Like, well, why? Like, I mean, why not now? So, and we're going to deal with that in a second. So you really have to think about that. So now that that rant is over, let me give you some things that you can really sink your teeth into. The next thing. You have a really brief window that I was talking about over a month ago, by the way, and we've just lost 30 days, so I'm hoping you've been doing it. And I've about 30 days ago, maybe might have even been about 6 weeks ago, I started talking to you guys about ramping up your activity. I mean, you still have some time. Next week, you're going to have a few days where you can still make more phone calls and you can pop some more things into the mail and FedEx and creative things and emails, all kinds of stuff. And depending on your business, you could at least get two good solid weeks in December that you can do this. But you've got to ramp it up now. And what I mean by that is not only at a minimum get this on the schedule and maybe move toward a daily type of prospecting activity schedule. Many of you are already doing that. But also, too, I mean, one of the things that I started doing, and I'm going to explain myself a little more in a minute, is I've been doing a little bit more before and after hours and a little bit more on the weekend. Again, I want to be very clear. Who's telling you this? I'm the guy who's your friend when it comes to work-life balance. I mean, I totally enjoy my kids. And it's funny because I'm at a point in my life now where my oldest in January is actually going to be legal. Imagine that. I'm just thinking this like he's like legal, like drinking age. I'm sorry. The legal drinking age. 21. And my other son is going to be turning 19, and my daughter is going to be turning 17. And two of them are in college, and one still in the high school. And, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that for a guy who has been in sales and in sales leadership positions and in positions where, you know, you don't need me to tell you, we do a lot of traveling, we're road warriors, that I was there for their plays and their musicals and the Christmas concerts and everything else. I only missed one thing the entire time, and to this day, I hate myself for it. It was one of my daughter's recitals, and to this day, it still bothers me. It's like, I kind of feel like, you know, like that song Cats in the Cradle comes on, like I should be hanging my head because of that one incident. So I'm very much on the balance, and even my personal time, I'm a musician, getting time in, and time on the weekend, there has to be a beginning and an end to this. We can't just be continually out there hustling. I don't buy into that. I think that's a BS thing, that people are almost proud of, like, oh, overworking themselves and neglecting their family. I don't think that's something you should be proud of, by the way. Sorry if that's an unpopular opinion, but it's how I feel. But having said that, there's a time when we got to pick up the pace and we got to hustle a little more. And right now, you've got a limited window. And heck, if we're going to be coming up into a time of year where it's going to slow down, you're going to have more time with your family anyway, just get the work out of the way now. I mean, now we've got to be knuckling down. I mean, quite frankly, we should have been doing this months ago. But push has come to shove. Now, here we are. I can't give you a time machine where we can go back and right the wrongs and fix the things that maybe we should have been doing. Maybe you should, like, make a note to self for next year for that part. That's the next best thing to a time machine. But for now, here we are. We got to do something with this time. And you need to seize the hell out of the day. Or carpe the hell out of that diem, right? I think that's a saying somewhere. But anyway, so that's one of the things that I want you to do. Next, you want to create a communication map that starts with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving now is going to be next week. So what are the kind of things, as far as your messaging goes, that are going to be centered around Thanksgiving? Now, one of the things I've talked about, might be a little late for some of you to do this, but I want to mention it anyway. Nothing wrong with sending out a little Thanksgiving card. I mean, how many people send out Thanksgiving cards? Not that many. I mean, I hardly receive, like, any of them, so it might be a nice opportunity for you to be memorable. If you don't have a Thanksgiving card, could you maybe write a little note or something like that and send it off to some prospects and potential clients? The other thing, too, as part of your map, you want to send out some kind of an in-mail to your LinkedIn network. I mean, more and more people are starting to do this. I have a network of only about 4,000 or 5,000, which I'm going to be talking about why. I really don't want to go off on a tangent, but we're going to be talking about LinkedIn networks and stuff in the weeks to come. But there's a reason why, after X amount of years, 6 years, I guess it is for me, why I'm hovering about 4,000 or 5,000, but and not more. I really want to keep it at a certain level for a reason. But I can tell you that out of 4,000 or 5,000, whatever it is I have, I get a handful at most of emails wishing me a happy Thanksgiving. So I think it's a great opportunity to stand out. This next one, you have to circle. You have to do it. You have to put little arrows that say, over here, dude, do that. Do this. Make sure you do it. Get off your rear end and do it. Get off your ass and do it. However way you talk to yourself, it's okay. Your secret's safe with me. But you want to make sure that next week, particularly that Friday, while everybody else is off at those Black Friday sales, that you have an email set and ready to go. Now, remember, you're allowed to be two places at one time. You could set up an email program to have this broadcast out whatever time on Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, but I'm going to recommend Friday. There's a lot of reasons why I think you should do this, and this is a strategy that I teach quite extensively, and it's something that you want to think about. We're going to think beyond Thanksgiving right now. You want to do this, again, the week between Christmas and New Year's. You want to do this certainly over the summertime. That week of July 4th is a peak vacation time. And any time, really, when you know that there's a peak holiday or vacation time where people are going to be out of office. So you want to send an email because, number one, there's going to be less noise. The way you're feeling right now, which is kind of – and it's understandable, and I'm with you because I experience it too. Just kind of like mentally winding down. Your competitor is feeling this way right now. You have a great opportunity to hit them right now while their guard is down. They're not going to be as active. Most people aren't. So you've got that working in your favor. So what you want to do is you want to strike when there's less noise so that you're more memorable. That's number one. Number two, when you hit people with an email during peak vacation and holiday seasons, they're out of office. Now, you might be thinking, so that's kind of a dumb time to send something. Not really, because those out-of-office responses are can be your friend, because there's incredible information that can be contained in them. Not in every one, but if you're sending out enough of these and enough of them to make it worth doing the mailing and or the emailing. So let me just give you an example. In some of them, in that out-of-office response, you're going to get a direct line that you didn't have before. In others, you're going to get a cell phone number. You know, in case of emergency, call me on my cell phone. Now, I always like to give a word of caution here. Probably not your best bet to immediately utilize that one. But what I always tell my coaching clients is we can certainly keep it in our back pocket. Never a bad thing to have options in the future. So right now it's an option. We may not use that option, but let's have it. Let's put it in the back pocket. The other thing is you might get additional contacts, kind of like in my absence, contact this person. Because what some companies do is sometimes, you know, things have to be covered. So somebody else is going to be kind of on call on this holiday, and then maybe in exchange for that Christmas time, the other person will be on call for the other one. They kind of help each other. But many times when they give you the other contact information, many times it could be a boss, and it could be somebody who's a better or higher level contact for you. And I've even had cases where people, I don't want to say it's TMI, but they've like said, I'll be off enjoying Thanksgiving in Colorado with my family. Like sometimes people give like a little bit more than the average person. It doesn't happen all the time. But you better believe now we have some nuggets that we can use when we're like kind of like a social clue, as I would call it, that you can use to kind of as an icebreaker when you call up. And now you're not calling so cold because you're asking, hey, by the way, before I ask you my question, how was Colorado? You mentioned in your email that you're off the – I think you said you have – were you originally from Colorado? I mean, that's a very different tone of a discussion than calling up to, like, check in. And please, again, you don't want to get – I'm not even going to go there, girlfriend. Anyway – so you want to do that with the email. That's going to be something that you want to schedule it. You want to write it now. Get that all ready to go if you have the ability through your email program to just kind of set it and forget it. Go ahead. And you can still enjoy that Friday. You can get out there at the Black Friday sales. And while your competitor is out there spending money on those Black Friday sales and not working at all, you will have given the impression that you're working, but you're going to be out there too, battling them, probably for that last Cabbage Patch Kid doll or some crap from 1984 when I was growing up. But anyway, the other thing that you want to do, I mean, let's not forget the phone call. I mean, phone calls are really, really important, especially around a holiday. I think a lot of people, they'll be quicker to send something electronic, in some cases quicker to send a card, but just picking up a phone, especially that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you're still going to get some people in the office. It's something that I would definitely do. And remember, just as a quick timeout, I think it's really important. It was the quick tip of the week that I sent out this past Sunday. We have to change up our messaging as sales professionals. I mean, most of the time, our message, I mean, think about this. And I need kind of like a group amen from everyone, even though I can't hear you talking at me in the car right now, which is kind of weird. But I'm just going to pretend like you guys are all giving me head nods and kind of rock horns and saying amen and rock on or whatever the hell it is you guys are saying. But we all have to acknowledge that for the most part, our messaging, whether it be an email or calling them up, a voicemail, whatever, the messaging is usually, I mean, the gist of it, we'll probably say it a lot better than what I'm going to say. It's either I'd like to have an appointment with you, or I'd like to sell you something. And most of the time, that appointment is really an appointment to sell you something. So how do we break it up? Because see, if that's all we're doing, it becomes very boring and predictable. And we're conditioning people not to take the call unless there's an immediate need. So what we want to do is break up the messaging a little bit. Now, the holidays, that's a great way for us to work with the landscape. That's kind of the landscape that we have. And instead of getting all angry and annoyed and nobody picks up their phone and, man, it's a crappy week to be a salesperson and everything, I think we need to kind of look at it and say, well, how can I leverage this? How can I work with this? If this is the terrain, how do I work within that terrain and that landscape? So the calls are very important during the holidays. You know, something else that I just want to get into very, very quickly, and I'm going to kind of put on my Dr. Phil cap for this. You know, you have to realize that the holidays, you don't need me to tell you this, but there is kind of a festive spirit, and there's a giving spirit. And people tend to, you know, get kind of caught up in the holidays in a good way, too. And, you know, you have to realize in some cases the holiday music is playing and they're happy because they're going to be eating turkey and stuff. And think about this, too. I mean, in many cases, unless you had a – and sorry if this is a bad subject – unless you had a really sad childhood, the holidays are kind of like anchors in a way that – or triggers, if you will, to past memories. And we're thinking about growing up as a child and sitting at the family table. And heck, in my family, you know, I grew up in a family of six. We didn't have enough chairs to fit us all around the table. So I remember I used to have to sit on this bench that the toaster was on. And I hated sitting on that damn bench. I remember kidding around my brothers when I came over one Thanksgiving as, you know, a grown-up and with my kids and stuff. And they put the bench out just to kind of break my balls, and they put it out there. And I was like, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be like a major moment in therapy the day. Like, I'm just going to, like, wreck that damn bench, and I'm going to, like, you know, do like what they did in Office Space with the printer out there kicking it and breaking it and stuff like that. But I never did have that opportunity, so... Eventually, I'll work through that, and maybe some meds and stuff will help me with that. But anyway, the whole point that I wanted to say is that the holidays kind of, it just has the spirit about it. So we have to work with that. So phone calls are going to be important, but the other side of the phone call thing is that you have to be prepared for something. And the thing you have to be prepared for, and this is where you're going to say, man, my God, he's a genius at what he does, man. This guy is, like, amazing. And of course, I'm being sarcastic when I tell you, you have to be prepared for people to tell you, call me back after the holidays. Now, a few things I want to say about that. I think that we have allowed that to go unchallenged. I don't mean that, like, all of a sudden I'm going to get aggressive and we're going to go, like, beat the hell out of a prospect and rough him up. You know, I'll hold him, you hit him, Uncle Paul, right? I mean, you know, I guess we could probably do that if you paid me enough money. I'm always up for a good brawl. But, you know... I think really what I'm saying here is that sometimes people say things to us because they can. And we kind of own the awkwardness of where it goes from there, and we let them get away with it. And I can tell, you know, it's very interesting. We have to understand where a potential customer is coming from. There's a saying that I hate. I really do, with almost every ounce of my being. And it's this saying, not bad-mouthing an organization that made several hundreds of millions of dollars more than I did last year. And the saying is, buyers are liars. And that has a lot of different meanings to it, and this, like, a different context probably than what I'm going to use it for right now. But, you know, a lot of people feel, well, you know, they're full of it, whatever excuse they're giving you. I don't look at it that way, and I'm going to tell you why I don't like to look at it that way. I'm looking to form a relationship, and I look at relationships the way I do personal relationships, whether it be a friendship or a relationship you would have with your significant other. I don't know that a relationship can start on the right foot if we are right away assuming the other person is full of it and that they're a liar. But what I do believe when it comes to a potential customer is that you and I haven't earned the right to full disclosure, number one. And number two, you have to realize something, that a lot of sales trainers don't want to admit, and they think that this is a horrible attitude. I don't think it's a horrible attitude, because I like to deal with the truth. I don't like fantasies, and I don't like dopey affirmations that are not reality-based. I like to deal with the truth, because once I have the truth, I can handle it, right? Not like, you know, that movie, You Can't Handle the Truth. I can handle the truth. I like the truth, and I like living in the world that's real, and not off in some, you know, like, world where we're waiting for the mothership to come and hoist us away. The whole thing that I want you to realize is that you're interrupting somebody. And again, people say, that's a bad attitude, like right off the bat. No, it's. Do you really think they were sitting around playing with the dinger on the cash register saying, oh, gee, I have nothing to do. I really wish Paul Castain would call me or Joe Jones or Jane Jones. No, they're busy. And most of the people that you're calling on, they're doing the work easily of two and three other people. That is just the way it is. You have to accept that. There is no putting a silver lining on that one. That is it. So, having said that, we don't throw our arms up in the air, but we need to understand that their job, when they are inundated, is to get us off the phone as quickly as possible. So what many of them do, they have kind of like an auto-eject, something that they say every single time. For some of them, it's no need. We're all set. Other people, I'm crazy busy. Call me back next month, after the holidays, next millennium, whatever. And even though I just kind of mentioned it before, other people, they love to cling to the whole holidays thing. I mean, for them, that's like the big excuse that they can cling to. I mean, and quite frankly, some of them out there, and you know what I'm talking about, some of them, I think they would, if they could milk Groundhog Day, they would tell you, call me back after Groundhog Day. It's just another kind of a BS excuse that they can throw at you. So what we need to do is find a way to counter that. And what one of the things I teach, and we're going to be talking about it in the upcoming webinar in December, is that really we need to get past that first objection, if you will. Because again, it's not that they're lying, it's just that we haven't earned the right to full disclosure. If we can get past that and not take that one so seriously, and we kind of take it more with a grain of salt, I believe when we get to the second time that they're voicing a no to us, we're getting what's really on their mind. And I think once you know what's really on someone's mind, because usually they're not creative enough to have more than one blow off, it's usually that's what they do, and most salespeople settle, so they really don't have to be so good that they have two and three different blow offs. I mean, think about it. They're not sitting there with like a magic eight ball that they just shake and they get a blow off. Okay, I will say this now. I mean, they're really not. They have pretty much their standard thing. So what you need to do about it, now that I've kind of gone on and on about that, is you need to come up with three good, compelling reasons why you should get together now as opposed to after the holidays. And you have to think about what you're going to say in response to it. Now, when you do, and I'm sorry again, I got to put my Captain Obvious cape on for this. I mean, you really, when I say a good compelling reason, we have to think about like, well, what's in it for them? I mean, momentum is really not in your favor at this point. It's in their favor because they're just moving quickly away from the now thing and just into someday. So what is the incentive for now? Now, I mean, again, you guys would know better than me. I just can only give you some general, like, idea generators for you folks. But there's some tax advantages to getting something done and kind of on the books for 2014. Could there be some things with their budget that would be in their favor to do it now? Could it be a timing thing? Because, I mean, I think we're kind of, I mean, and again, sorry if I'm, it's the New York thing coming out. I'm a bit of a wise ass. It's part of our bylaws. You have to be a wise ass to live in New York, by the way, and to be in the Castain family, too. I mean, is it that, you know, sometimes we think that the only time to deal with something is when it's busy, but like things are slowing down. So you know what? We'll just deal with it when it picks up again. But when you think about it, I mean, where's the logic in that? Now, it's not that you're going to say that to somebody like, what are you, dumbass? I mean, come on, man. Like, were your parents brother and sister? You're stupid here, Forrest. I mean, of course you should be doing it. You can't do that. But I think sometimes, remember, people say things to you because they can. Is there a respectful way for you to challenge them and allow them to see the logic of meeting now? Maybe a good, compelling question. Remember, a good question kind of draws someone inward and it kind of leads them on the path of self-discovery. Do you have a good question that maybe you could ask someone in response to the call me back next year thing or whatever it is? Also, too, I'm not a big guy in negotiations and incentives and stuff like that, so you might have to take this piece of advice with a grain of salt, by the way, because I don't negotiate. I'm really not into being positioned as Castain's bargain basement training company. But I will tell you that sometimes there are incentives financially to people who are going to buy now. Like, for example, I'm not offering a really cool discount for you to buy my online training course from me now as opposed to next year, but I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. And this part isn't a secret. The next part is I have a lot of companies that look at my online training programs, and some of you guys, you know, you'll come in and you'll like sign yourself up. But I also have sales managers and VPs of sales and business owners that are putting 10 and 20, 30 and 50 people in there. So one of the things that I say to them on some of those bigger deals, and even some of you guys that are inquiring, that are on the fence, I mean, my job is not to push you any which way or the other, but I do want to, as your advocate, tell you what's at stake here. And here's the deal. Here's the financial incentive that I always tell people, that just to let you know, this time last year, my course was $100 less than it is right now. I raised the price on January 1st from $395 for the online sales course to $495. Now, here's a little secret part. I'm going to tell you guys something that I've been telling everybody that I've been kind of talking with. I mean, if you want to sign up next year, great. I'm happy to have you as a client whenever you guys are ready. Please believe that. But I also want to tell you that if you're like me, it pisses you off when you overpay for something. If you sign up for my course in January, which I'm going to be announcing some dates for January, that course right now is going to go from $495 where it is right now to $595 because I'm raising the prices. I have a ton of people that go I mean, each one of them, we have about 600 people in there. And for the longest time, I felt that it's been underpriced. So it's just kind of the way it is. And so is there something with your pricing where, again, maybe you can kind of explain to them the benefits on getting on board now? But here's what I want you to do. If you guys want a really cool freebie, I offered this last year. I had, I think it was like 450 or 500 people that emailed me. It was really awesome and it was great. If you would like a really cool freebie, I've designed a worksheet for you guys. Free of charge. You know how I roll. No strings attached. All you have to do is email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And one thing I insist upon is that when I communicate with adults, is that, like, you don't give me any of this, like, lazy-ass subject line request things where, like, you're just, like, half-assing it with me. I don't respond to those. I really don't like to condition that type of communication. I mean, it's kind of like grunting at me, and I don't really dig it. So if you just take a moment, you don't have to give me, like, a dearest Paul, some kind of formality. You don't like to roll that way. But just ask me for the damn sheet that I talked about here. So I'll send you. It'll help you kind of learn how to fish. Now, sales managers, VPs of sales, business owners, you need to be talking about the stuff in your meeting. I mean, play this podcast for them. Not that this is some incredible work of art here, but you can play this for them. Maybe you can steal some of the ideas that I've talked about here. Lay down the law with them. But really what you need to be doing is getting everybody talking about how they're going to respond. Challenge them to come up with three responses each. Have them email the responses to you. Your job then is either to pass it off to your assistant, or perhaps you could do it. Cut and paste. Make up a document. Heck, if you've got 10 people on your sales team, they all do three piece. You're going to have 30 different responses. Yes, there'll be some crossover, but the beauty of it is that you're going to have people with different personalities essentially saying the same thing, but with their personality twist to it. So you want to think about it from that perspective. You should be role-playing this in your meetings, and not some, and when I say role-play, I don't mean like, you know, like some kind of kinky stuff like, you know, Castain's going to dress up as a chick or something like that. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, and none of this hokey stuff. When you do role plays, you should be training tougher than reality. You don't go giving up and giving in after the first objection. You go and you break their balls. Good, man. You want to give them a workout. You want to make them sweat. And that doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to be a real dick about it. I don't mean that. But I mean, you don't go babying your coworkers, and understand that, you know, what goes around comes around. They get to go and be nasty to you too. But I mean, we don't want to go over the top and, like, short of having somebody go into therapy and, like, you know, have to go and, like, get high before they do these role plays with you. But I mean, but by the same token, we don't want to make it like a joke, which some of these role plays are. So you certainly want to do that. And then, you know, really last but not least for now, and we'll talk more about some other things in part two, you really need to be thinking about your holiday cards. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, the company's got it all under control, Castain. They've got this thing they're sending out. No, I don't really care about the company. I'm talking about you. People buy you first. So, I mean, it's not going to... And also, too, this is... I'm like getting angry again, man. I got to drink my chamomile tea before I do these podcasts with you guys. Maybe I should just take the holiday season off. Maybe that should be my... I'm like, I've got a lot of anger here. But anyway, seriously. You know, a lot of you guys, I'm like, well, I'm not going to bother doing it. My boss won't reimburse me for it. First of all, yes, I'll say it with you. Your boss is a cheap bastard. I mean, if they're not going to go and foot the bill for cards for you, they're cheap. But you want to know who's cheaper than them? You. If you're not going to go and send cards out to your clients and your potential customers just because they won't foot the bill for it, I mean, I'm sorry, but that kind of makes you cheap too. And meanwhile, like, look at some of the things you piss money away on. The damn Starbucks $4 a day latte habit. Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about. But seriously, you got to think about that. And maybe visit a resource, and I'm not affiliated with them, like StonehouseCollection.com. Or perhaps send out cards and customize some cards. You can put their name in like a call out, and you can have all kinds of fun with it. But you really have to think about that and send something from you. And also get it on your schedule when you're going to be filling out your cards and mailing them out. And I want to be very clear in what I just said, filling out your cards. And what that means is, just like with that whole subject line thing I told you, don't you dare take the lazy ass way out and just pop them in an envelope. I mean, come on. You have an opportunity right now to connect with people. And remember what I said before, just get on board with this whole goodwill thing and this holiday spirit and holiday cheer. Get on board with that. Write a little note to your clients. I'm telling you, counting your card that's been handwritten, they might have, I don't know, maybe like just like one other. If that, it just doesn't happen. Everybody has gone lazy right now. So this is something where you can stand out, but you want to think about that. So I've given you a lot of things here to think about. There you have it. I mean, you got several ideas to start thinking about right now. And in part two, I'm going to tell you about some things that are going to bring us right up to and even beyond Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. I am not going to wish you a happy Thanksgiving at this point because I'm really planning on doing like a business as usual next week with my podcast. Even if I have to like record this on Sunday, I think I need to make an appearance with you guys because I wouldn't be practicing what I've been preaching to you guys about stepping it up. I got to keep up on my appearances to give you guys an example here to do. So again, Paul Castain, again, signing off, wishing you guys an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.